Well, good morning, everyone, and it's great to be sharing with you this morning on the non-negotiables of church life. We've had evangelize, and that was by sharing the message of salvation with Kirk Franklin. And oh my, how blessed am I because someone shared the message of faith with me when I was young and going to Sunday school. And that changed my journey in life. And now I know I am en route to heaven. Oh, I am so thankful to a dear old lady, Mrs. Wild, from a community church just like RCC, who used her garage to set up a Sunday school and reached out in a new housing estate where I lived. She had a heart for the kids in my neighbourhood. And last week we had Exalt with Tony Lyon. And I'm so thankful for the many churches over the years that I have met with that have each in their own special way shared and pointed me to God, who is worthy of all praise and is to be exalted. Yes, it's all about Him, not me. And today I want to look at encourage. Encourage through fellowship. I have such a heart for this topic. I've been encouraged myself by so many over the years and for the precious fellowships that I've been part of. The Bible is so detailed in making sure we understand this, and especially in the New Testament, we see the church growing and becoming healthy and vibrant. I want to start this morning by just looking at our key passage and thinking of those two words, encourage and fellowship. You know, encourage is a verb. I do remember that from school, what a verb is. It's a doing word. It means to give support, to give confidence and hope to someone. It also means to persuade. That means to persuade someone to do or to continue to do something by giving them support and advice. And it also means to stimulate the development of belief. And as we look at that passage, I've just highlighted some of the things that leapt out to me as to how this early church in our key passage did encourage one another. They devoted themselves. Devoted. This word means to be steadfast, to persevere, to keep reaching out and to making a real effort. And what were they making an effort in? Well, in the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. I love the way that in this midst, amazing things happen. People were filled with awe and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. My word, how encouraged they would have been to have seen that. All the believers were together. Wow, how wonderful is that, that they wanted to be together. And what's more, they had everything in common. And as a result of that, their heart was to reach out and to encourage all those around them. And they gave to anyone as they had need. What a lovely spirit that there must have been as they shared together. And every day, can you believe it? Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They went back to most of those early believers were Jewish believers. They were familiar with being in the temple. They went back to the temple, probably to the temple colonnades, where they gathered together in groups and met. And more than that, they also met in their homes. Their homes were open and they shared, they broke bread together in their homes. Probably that was having a meal and sharing a meal. And then they also broke the bread, as we will, in our communion service. And communion was very much a part of that. And What was the spirit as they shared in the house? Well, they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Wow, they surely encouraged one another in that time. And now to look at fellowship. I've just recently read a book that I discovered on my bookcase, and when I was thinking about fellowship, I thought, this is a good book to read. It's Jerry Bridges in his book, True Fellowship. And I've just taken one little quote for us to start with as we think about fellowship. Jerry writes, "Our understanding of fellowship falls far short of what God has provided for us. True fellowship is not Christian social interaction, nor is it confined to spiritual activities like group prayer, Bible study, sharing what God is doing in your life. Important as these things are, fellowship is an activity. It is a relationship." Think about that. Fellowship is an activity. It is a relationship. Let's look again at our key passage and look for the things that tell us about how they experienced fellowship as an activity in a relationship. Yes, certainly thinking about the apostles' teaching and the fellowship they had with the breaking of bread and prayer was very key to this group, and it did build them up. Isn't it precious that all those believers, because they were together doing community and relationship, they shared so much in common, and they desired to sell their possessions to enable others to share in the good things of life, and some of them would have had very little, so it definitely was a sharing in a relationship. And then that relationship so clearly continues in the home. I think I've got to say that's the thing I have missed the most with the current restrictions that we currently live under, not being able to have people in our home and to be able to share together. And it's very hard to make up for that kind of loss, because there's such a richness in sitting and sharing a cup of coffee with someone in their home. And I love this too, that because they did that together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. These people were sincere. They did this because they wanted to, not because they had to. They praised God because that just came out of their relationship and enjoying the favour of all the people. Isn't that interesting that those that were watching and seeing could see the great demeanour that existed between these groups, and there was an admiration of them for all that they observed as they saw these people coming together. And look at the end result of this whole thing. "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." And that added word is a continuous meaning. It means to keep on adding. That's what happened to this early church in Acts chapter 2. And we know that the church grew and was blessed, and we would long for that experience in our world today. The Greek word that's used for fellowship is koinonia. And although that's not a common word for us, it's good for us to understand what is the Bible saying when it uses the word fellowship. The word koinonia occurs 18 times in the New Testament. And the first occurrence is actually in this passage that we've just read this morning, where they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And it's translated several ways in the New Testament. We have that the words used sometimes in the translation is participation, partnership, sharing, and of course, fellowship. And it's got two meanings. One, to share together in the sense of joint participation of partnership. And two, to share with in the sense of giving what we have to others. And a close study of the usage of this word shows that action is always included in its meaning. This is not a passive word, this is a word of action. You know, the Christians in Acts 2 were not devoting themselves to social activities, but to a relationship that consisted of sharing together the very life of God through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And they met in the temple and in homes. You know, it says in the verse preceding this passage that we've read today in Acts 2:41 that 3,000 people came to faith on one day. Wow, what a lot of people. And when we think of them sharing, this has a much wider reflection for us. That word sharing here means to communicate intimately or sharing with one another on a close personal and spiritual level. It's not just talking about the weather and making conversation for conversation's sake. They would have been literally encouraging one another from the scriptures and sharing of God at work. You know, according to Acts chapter 2 and verses 5 to 11, the first believers were gathered together into the church on the day of Pentecost. They came from every nation under heaven. And prior to their conversion, they would have related to one another like billiard balls, constantly colliding and bounding off one another. But immediately after coming into the community and the relationship of the body of Christ, they began to experience koinonia and to value its effect on their lives. We see them sharing their possessions, koinonia. We see them sharing together and serving with a sense of giving. We know that what is described in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, did not last. 20 years later, Paul writes to the church in Corinth and he deals with many issues. They were in a mess. There was a basic failure in relating to one another in love. Church leaders were struggling with status and influence. And there was an arrogance on the teaching of the body of Christ and other issues too that related to a very toxic environment. Paul points out in this passage in 1 Corinthians 15 what being the body of Christ should be and should not be. And from this we know that the believers then needed to think again and to change their behaviour to be all what God planned for the body of Christ. Thanks to Sarosh for reading 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 27 this morning. And I hope that the kids' spot with Mr. Potato Head helped you to appreciate that everybody in the body has a part to play. We cannot do without any of you. And if you've got a Bible this morning or one on your phone, why don't you open it up now as we just look over this passage in 1 Corinthians 12 and we're thinking about encouraging one another through fellowship. What was Paul emphasizing in this passage? Well, look at verse 13. It is a call for all churches to realize that we have all been baptized by the Holy Spirit into one body, no matter what our status or our country of birth. We all share a common life in Christ. We need to realize that in the body of Christ, we need to show humility and unity. Jesus remains the only superstar in God's salvation story. He is the head and we are the mere body parts. The fact that we are Jesus' body here on earth is also a cure for self-pity and inferiority complexes. It's no good wishing you were someone else. I want to be a hand, not a foot, a nose, not an ear. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18, Paul writes these very powerful words, but in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Feet, hands, nose, ears, eyes, they all look very different. And I guess the face that you kids have produced this morning shows that. But every single one of them is essential to the body. We have two ears so that we can hear all around. We have two eyes so that we can focus and have a much bigger vision. All are important. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7 that every gift that's been given to a believer is given for common good. You're placed in the position where you are, gifted in the way that you are, for the blessing of the entire church. You know, we cannot let our own personal hang-ups provoke us to swindle and defraud the rest of the church of our gifting. It's very easy to think, well, what does it matter if I don't do any service in the body of Christ? Yes, it does matter. Just like every part in your body needs to function, so in the church, we need everyone to function. You have a unique work to do. The body needs you. We know from verse 21 that some people in Corinth thought that they were God's gift to the church and only they were needed. How dumb is it to say if you are an eye to the hand, I don't need you? On Friday night, I was chatting to a friend who has some health issues, and they were amazed that when they turn their neck, their arm and their hand hurt. How amazing, they said to me, that the nerves in my neck send the pain to my hand just like turning on a switch. And yes, it is amazing. And we do understand that concept, even more so today than 2,000 years ago. We know through medical science and for all that we can see with the great CT scans and all the other tests that can be done, how all the parts of the body are so amazingly connected to one another. Through the nerves and through the arteries that supply the blood. You know, if you damage one of those, it can have a huge impact on the rest of the body. The body needs everything to work together, to work well. So much for the arrogant Lone Ranger Christianity. There is no place for that. This is not to be clearly spelled out. We need every part of the body of Christ doing its part all of the time. And then Paul goes in to talk about some very interesting parts of the body. And in verses 22 to 24, he says, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lacked it. You know, when you think about the parts that are weaker, less honourable, unpresentable. Maybe just for a moment, think about your own body and think about your organs. How amazing is it that all of the organs that are not visible, not seen, how they all operate, not only without conflict in our body, but in positive cooperation and interdependence. You see, the Corinthians thought that the weaker, less honourable and unpresentable were the parts of Christ's body, the church, that had the lesser roles. You know, the roles that we can do without. And Paul very clearly refutes this and shows that every part has a place to play. And in fact, those parts that you might consider to be weaker and less honourable and unpresentable are given greater honour. It's not just the parts that you can see, but it's all the parts. You well know this morning, if you're seeing at home with live streaming, it could happen without Phil and I, the people that you've seen, but it certainly can't happen without the people on the IT desk. They're the parts you can't see this morning. Let me tell you, and I'm sure you know, they are doing a very valuable role. And we are thankful for the part, yes, it's a part, that they play along with the people that you see. Paul goes on to say in verse 25, there will be no division in the body. All parts of the body should have equal concern for each other. We belong to one another, and this is seen in our lives in a number of mutually helpful ways. Look at verse 26. When one part of the body hurts, we all hurt. We see that in our own bodies. I've got a bung knee, left knee, and that affects my left foot and the way that I walk. You know, pain is often felt in the body at times over just a very small thing. Stand on a prickle next time you've got a nice day and you've got your shoes off and you're on the grass. You feel the pain right through your body at that time. The body of Christ is the same. When someone suffers, we need to feel that pain to come alongside and to seek to bring healing. I've got no intention of chopping off my lower left leg because the knee is out of sorts. You know what? In my case, that's all the more reason that I work very hard to maintain strength in that leg and to build it up. So it is in the church. We do not divide when there is an issue. We work all the harder to bring unity so that Christ is honoured. The same point is made when one part of the body is honoured. Then every part rejoices with it. I was thinking about that this week. I know that for a woman, when you get your hair done, you feel like $1 million. Your whole countenance is lifted just over that one little thing. Now, I know it's been a long time since many of us visited the hairdresser or the barber, and I hope you haven't forgotten what you can look like. But I think you get that, you understand what I'm saying. One bit of light in the body affects sometimes all of it. And that's the same in the body of Christ. Let's rejoice and celebrate when one of our Christian family has reason for celebration. I saw that the morning that Sarah and Leon came to the Zoom morning tea. There was joy for all of us as we saw their precious bundle of love, dear little Hannah Margot. We could not play past the baby like we might have done at church and give it a hug. But the smile on the Zoom faces told the story that we were celebrating in their joy. And I guess a little rider on that point too is, it's very easy sometimes to get envious when you don't have that moment of joy when somebody else gets a celebration. Let me encourage you to make sure that you've got a right focus when other people are experiencing joy and you share in their joy as opposed to thinking just about yourself. God longs to see the body of Christ growing and healthy. When I am growing in my faith and spiritually healthy, that is good. But it is so much the richer when all the body of Christ is growing in their faith and spiritually healthy. Then we are a mighty force with the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through us. And that's what we saw in our Acts 2 passage. You know, this pandemic has changed the way that we live and think. We've all realized that we are no longer in charge of our destiny. We cannot say with assurance that we will do this or that or plan for an event with any confidence. COVID regulations have changed everything. And you know now we can only go at the moment 15 kilometres. We can hardly plan a holiday and, well, would you want to have one in Ringwood? I don't think so. And some of you spend all day on your computers working from home. And I know you find it difficult and hard then to make an effort to connect to a Connect group that's on Zoom yet again, or even looking at a live stream service. We understand, yes, this is our COVID world. And yet, all of us, regardless of our position in life, know those restrictions. We are very much all one when it comes to COVID rules. Life is indeed different, and I think it's given us all time to think about our priorities, our needs, and what is really important to us. When it comes to the body of Christ, how true it is that as we look at this passage today, one thing for sure COVID cannot take from us is our relationship with Jesus Christ. We've got now more time to pray, to read the word, to have a focus that is very much God-given. And what about our relationships with people? Yes, we have more time to think about others and to show love and care to them. Here in our church family, I know that so many of you have reached out to show love and kindness in a safe COVID way. Items of love left on doorsteps, home baking, flowers, cards and text messages sent to not just to the fragile members and those with obvious needs, but to many of us in the family of RCC. Why? Well, I think that the giver was showing that they wanted to encourage you, to let you know that you were being thought of by them. And the end result of that is that the relationship that you had together is indeed deepened. And I know from my own experience of having received encouragement that my relationship with God was deepened because I was so encouraged by that act of kindness. That's the way it works, isn't it? You start with that encouragement in relationship through connecting with Jesus Christ. You share that with others in the church family. They share that with you, and glory and praise goes back to God, and our relationship with Him is deepened. Never forget that we start this relationship with Jesus Christ. When we ask Jesus to forgive us for our sins. That's the beginning of our relationship and being part of the body of Christ. And that can never be taken from us. And I hope that your desire to build relationship will continue with those in the body of Christ. May you be a real blessing to them. Our church mission statement includes one line that says that we would aim to be community impacting. I think this is what building relationships will result in. As you take time for your family, friends, workmates, neighbours, as you show kindness and reach out, you will build relationships. There will be perhaps too, as that relationship deepens, opportunity may come for your relationship, to share your relationship with Jesus, with those people. And that becomes community impacting as those relationships are built and dealt with. And I would encourage you, keep praying. That's what the early church did. They believed in the power of prayer. I saw a great answer to prayer myself late Friday night. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe that God can lead us and encourage us when we are doubtful on the journey where we should go or how we reach out. God knows that, and He gives us clear signs as to how we go forward when we pray and we look for His presence. I want us to pray right now as we commit each other to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning that our body is unique. We thank You for this human body that You've given us and how we can appreciate that. And we thank You for the word picture we've had this morning of the body of Christ. We ask, O Lord, that You will give us an eye to see needs around us. Give us hands to respond where we can, and a heart to connect, which encourages and provides fellowship. Make us, Lord, spiritually healthy and vibrant. And this we pray in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. We've got a great song now to lead us in, which is How Great Is Our God, and then we will conclude with communion. Thank you.